first and second preaching on that topic about the word made flesh. Because Father Branham in many sermons is insisting that there's no life, there's life only in the word made flesh. Until the word is made flesh, it's got no life in it. Amen. Because it's something that it may be misunderstood. It may be, you know, sometimes we may misunderstand me when I say there is no life in this world. Let's get to the mind of God when he said that. Because the Bible says, the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Amen. The Pharisees were reading the same Bible. They were reading, even singing, that my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They were reading, a virgin shall give birth. But there was no life in the scripture, that scripture, because that scripture has already been made flesh and was walking the streets of Jerusalem. Amen. But then they stayed believing that ink and paper, believing, trusting that in it would have life. But the word has already been made flesh and it was walking and giving life. Amen. So that's why the prophet says, as long as the word has not been made flesh, there is no life. God spoke, let there be light. The prophet says, it may have passed 10 billion years before the first beam of life could be seen. Amen. Even though God had spoken already, but life could not be manifested until the sun, until the light became flesh.
Amen.
God spoke, God wrote his word, but when it was made manifest, then life could be manifested. We saw, as the prophet says, that when God said, let there be light, the sun was there already, but the earth was covered by mist and darkness, so that the ray, the beams, the light of the sun, even though it was there already, couldn't reach the earth because of that environment of unbelief. Amen. The prophet says the earth was, you know, wrapped in such unbelief that even when the light was shining, it couldn't, you know, the earth couldn't benefit that light because it was surrounded by unbelief. God had to chase away unbelief, then the light could shine upon the earth, and then the earth could manifest. Amen. So we are seeing in the last lesson that unbelief is our greatest enemy. Because we can say we are message bearers. We can say we believe the promises. But at some stage, you may be caught in unbelief while being in the message. And lack means to see, to benefit from the fruit of the life, the word that has been made flesh in your age. Amen. We have seen, we have gone through many examples in the Bible to see, not unbelievers, not Pharisees or Sadducees or not, no, the disciples of Jesus Christ. They were message believers. But at some stage, they got so used to hearing Jesus speaking that they started missing some of his sermons. They started, neglecting some of his sermons as an extent where they even became unbelievers themselves. We were reading in the I think Jesus, while he was ministering to them, he told them, in many circumstances, he told them, I will be arrested, mistreated, put to death, buried, and I will come back to life after 3 days. He told them, he predicted his death many times when they were living, but they were not. They didn't believe that. accept that word that Jesus told them. Many of them, they even didn't believe that Jesus would die. Because of the power they saw being displayed, they couldn't accept, they couldn't believe that this man would be arrested and put to death. So they didn't even believe that he could raise him. But when he came, those things happened. Arrested, killed, and put to death. John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, came to the sepulchre, and since the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter. So we see, after Jesus has been put to death, in Luke, you'll see, they are talking about three women, Mary Magdalene, another Mary, and Salome. They brought some aromats and stuffs to go and embalm the body of Jesus. If they were believing that he told us that he will raise the third day, they would have been counting days. They wouldn't have gone and bought all the stuff the boy to go and embalm his body.
Right.
Because he told them 3 days after the death of his. But they were in such unbelief that they went and bought those stuffs to come because they were believing that his body will remain. They were not believing that resurrection is a reality. Amen. Don't forget, they were message believers. Don't console yourself. Don't encourage yourself to say, I believe the message already. You may fall in unbelief while being in the message. Amen. So they went unbelieving. They were in such unbelief. They were so surrounded by that atmosphere of unbelief that even when they saw evidence of his raising, they couldn't see it. They saw the stone, you know, taken away from the tomb. It could have told them that something has happened here. No? They were so surrounded by that atmosphere of unbelief. The sun was always shining upon them, but they couldn't receive that light because of unbelief. Amen? So they went, some of them even saw the place where he was laid. I don't want to read everything.
Amen.
Mary, she was there, Mary Magdalene. She knew Jesus. She was one of the closest to Jesus. Jesus didn't change his face. It was the same Jesus. His voice never changed. She saw Jesus speaking to her. Woman, what are you looking for? The Bible says, let's read it. Verse 11. Chapter 20. But Mary stood without a disciple, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked unto the disciple, and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lay. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. How could Mary say this? Well, she has been 3 years and a half walking with Jesus, telling them what would happen. And she comes the third day after the death, she should have known that the body is not here. It must be, risen from the dead. But she says, I don't know where they put my Lord. Verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seeketh thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener. Amen. You see what unbelief can make you do. She was calling the word made flesh. She was calling him a gardener. Amen. We saw that because of unbelief today, that people can see this cloud and call it names. Amen. People can see the pillar of fire, the one that has been made flesh in our age, and call it names. Why? Because they don't believe. They are in the message. Remember, these apostles, these disciples, are the very disciples, the very apostles, that when Jesus said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will not see the kingdom of God. Many people left. Yes. They stood. Amen. When Jesus said some other strong declarations, many left. They stood.
Amen.
Even Jesus himself asked them, why don't you go? They said, they made very special statements. To whom will we go? Because you have the word of
God.
They've gone through all those tests. They've, you know, overcome all those tests. They were true message believers. But they failed. Because faith is something that is dynamic.
Amen.
You have to update your faith. Amen.
Amen.
We said that day that they were believing in Jesus Christ.
Mm.
They believed that he was the Son of God.
Amen.
They believed that he was born, he was virgin born. Amen. But the first coming of the Lord was not only to accept that he was virgin born. It was not only to accept when he multiplied the bread. It was not only to accept when he was baptized. He said, the first coming of the Lord was not a 24 hours event. The first coming of the Lord went from the time the angel came to tell my man that you will conceive. When Jesus was born, when Jesus was baptized, when he called his disciples, all that was the first coming of the Lord. His death on the cross was the first coming of the Lord. So it was a season. It was a period of time in which all the promises attached to the first coming were being fulfilled. That all that period, all that season made the first coming of the Lord. So the first coming of the Lord was not a 24 hours event. Let's say it was the day he was born. If it was the day he was born, then the thief at the cross would have missed the first coming of the Lord. Him saw him 33 years later. He was not there when Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, he was maybe committing his robbery somewhere. He was in sin. But 33 years later, he saw the first coming. Simon, him saw him as a little baby. Simon Peter, yes. I said Simeon saw him as a little baby. Simon Peter saw him 30 years later. But them all, they saw the first coming of the Lord. So we have to bear that in mind. The second coming of the Lord will be the same. Amen. It's not a 24 hours event.
Amen.
It's a season during which God is fulfilling all the promises attached to the second coming.
Amen.
So if you are waiting for a 24 hours event, that's why the Pharisees missed the first coming.
Amen.
It was a season. So the disciple, they believed that he was virgin born. It was one of the promises of the first coming of the Lord.
Mm.
But in that coming, it was saying also that he will raise from the dead. It was a promise of the first coming of the Lord.
Mm.
So for them to believe he was virgin born was not enough. It was okay for Simeon because that was all the light he has in his day.
Mm.
He believed it and he said, let me go in peace.
Mm.
But for Simon Peter, it was not enough to believe that he was virgin born only. He was now risen from the dead.
Mm.
He had to update his faith. Amen.
Amen.
That's why unbelief, they didn't believe in that promise. It made them to see the promise made flesh, but not recognize it.
Amen.
If Jesus was not merciful to them, they would have died. Because they were unbelievers.
Mm.
They were so surrounded by that atmosphere that if you read in Luke, they even went and shut the door. They saw like darkness. They They shut the door on themselves. They didn't want to receive the light. Even when the women came from the tomb, even when those apostles came from Emmaus, telling them that we have seen the Lord, the Bible said, they believed them not. The Bible says Jesus blamed them because of their unbelief. Amen. So they were so surrounded that even physically, they, surrounded themselves in the darkness. They closed the door. But Jesus was so merciful. Jesus was so loving that he broke into the darkness. He came and chased the darkness away and shone the light on them. So that's why we need to be very, very careful to the move of the Spirit. We are living, the prophet says, during the two or three hours that Jesus spent on the cross, many promises that were attached to the first coming fulfilled one after the other. Mm-hmm. It was just every single move that he did on the cross, it was a promise being fulfilled. We are living on a time when the second coming of the Lord, all the signs are there. We are waiting that second coming. But we'll just be careful to the fulfillment of the promise. Because if you miss because of unbelief, we are blaming them for not having been, for not seeing what God did on that day. But history always repeats. Man always forgets what God is doing. Amen. That's why we need to keep our eyes open, asking for God's grace to open our eyes, to give us the revelation, to update our faith, to be very sensitive to the move. I wanted these things very enshrined in us because we are going to build up on this. We are going to see the promises that God has fulfilled in this age. We are going, by God's grace, one by one, to study them and keeping in mind that only what God has fulfilled in your age is what will give you life.
Amen.
If you see it and miss to see it, my brother, you may be sitting here.